3, 2, 1.
Bubba boom.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Not us.
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Close, and then you come in, she starts wagging her tail and starts licking your hand.
Big old showtime!
Were you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a losing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the drone link, go to recordtlgs.org. And ICChallengeLinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 815. Why did I sound all of a sudden think it was only 700? 815.
Can we get you a whiteboard, Dan? Can you get a whiteboard there?
Oh, yeah. Episode 815 of Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Staying cool in the man cave.
We have Joel.
Yo, yo.
And we got Flying Rich.
Staying cool in the Orlando outpost.
Yeah, and you know what, Joel? You could go right ahead. I have some topics. You can go ahead with Gucci because that's really big news. So go ahead. Oh, did you want to say something, Rich?
Yeah. You know what? I think I really want to jump ahead of all you guys. Matt King, a listener of ours since 2006. Said, he commented on one of my YouTube videos. He said, killer show on the last Tilts, buddy. I was like, what? And they said, it was great just to hear you guys' stories, sharing about Docker and just tech stuff in general. Really enjoyed the conversations and nerdy stuff. Love the shows, but I've learned a lot of stuff. Learned a lot of stuff he didn't know before. And, you know, he appreciated all the Raspberry Pi operating system stuff, the Linux Fest talk, and let's see, what else did he say? And, yeah, so he said he's been listening since 2006. So, unfortunately, I got to say to Matt King, you must have a boring life.
And oh, that's terrible. Really thank you, Matt King.
No, thanks. I told him, often, I don't know how much feedback the rest of you guys get, but historically, if we get like one or two emails a year, you know, feedback from somebody that listens, like I do talk to Brad Alexander a couple times a week, so he's always giving me feedback on stuff. But you know, for the most part, I feel like I'm yelling into the void a lot of times when I do podcasting.
I get people contacting me when I screw up the RSS feeds.
Oh, do they? Well, that's me. That's me. But do people say, hey, when are you getting that guy Rich off the air? Can you get him
not
off
anymore.
Now?
They gave up.
All the time at the Linux Fest.
All the time.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Matt King. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And we
yeah,
always.
Thanks for listening. 13 years. Wow.
Yeah.
We got to bake him a cake or something.
I just think we just need to hold on for 20 years and call it quits. I keyed. So, big stuff in SBC land this week with the Raspberry Pi Foundation.
All right, wait. I want to Bogart in on you again, Joel. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
There's a guy, ETA Prime. I think it was April 1st, he did a spoof. The Raspberry Pi 4 is out. And it's like I was like hook, line, and sinker, eating it all up, getting all excited, and then I'm like, wait a second,
was it
that
April
doesn't
1st?
Sound right. Yes. So
this
when I saw this,
for real.
When I saw this, I said, wait a second, I've seen this before.
Not only is it for real, it's really exciting actually, because for the first time since the Pi has ever came out, they actually have a real Ethernet port that's not restricted by the USB bus. Full 1 gigabit connections on the Raspberry Pi 4, upgraded CPU, upgraded GPU, 4 different RAM levels, all the way up to a huge, 4 gigabytes, which is not too bad, actually, and 2 USB 3 ports powered by USB-C instead of micro USB, about freaking time. I'm trying to think what else. 2 micro HDMI ports, and it can drive two 4K displays.
So you can run two 4K displays. If you run one 4K display, it's 60 frames per second. If you run two, it's 30 frames per second. I've cut on Raspberry Pi a lot, and I gotta eat a lot of crow. Alright, so they got two USB 3, two USB 2 ports. I wish they were all USB 3, but you know what?
Yep.
The only thing that could make it better
is if they threw SATA in there.
You know what? I almost don't care about SATA, because I got USB 3. I could do a lot with that.
Yeah, true. True. I'm excited. I think I'm planning on ordering not just the Pi 4, but I want to order an LCD display because I want to make a little computer that I can take with me, you know?
So, all right, for those people out there, Micro Center had a YouTube video, I believe. Yeah, they had a YouTube video and a link to the product on their page because it was a little hard to find the Raspberry Pi 4 on their page. Apparently, they're going to be available on Friday, one per person and walk-in only.
Yeah, so, that means I have to head up there at lunch.
So James Middendorf's wife in St. Louis is going to go to the store on Friday and pick one up for me and ship it out to me. But I did order one from another company. What was it?
Kanakit?
Yeah, Kanakit. That's it.
Yeah, Element 14 like blitzed through their pre-orders like almost instantaneously because it came out like 4 hours before I got online, Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's like one of those things I'm like, oh crap, let's go to Element. Oh, there it is. Yeah, cause, three of the four, providers listed on the Raspberry, Pi Foundation's website for the United States were already sold out. So. Do you think there was pent-up demand for...
What the heck?
I know, right? But do you think there was a little pent-up demand for the Raspberry Pi 4? Yeah. There was lots of that. But I'm excited. I think, it might be the very first Pi that is really worthy of like lightweight desktop work. I mean, you could do it with the 3, but the 4 I think is going to be much better at that.
This is really what I've been looking for because I use my MacBook Pro as a dock to drive my desk at home and I have two monitors and I printed a left side of the Mac cable organizer so it plugs in like a dock. And really what I've been wanting forever was a Pi device to plug in to drive both my monitors. And I'm pretty excited about that I can have something at my desk working all the time and that I could either use Synergy or VNC or whatever to get to my Mac. So I don't have to be like, oh, it's in my backpack, I gotta plug it in. Or whatever. I just sit down at my desk and it's working. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It kind of wraps up nicely with the presentation I saw at the Southeast Linux Fest on using a Pi for your Shack computer. Now I do have, actually started printing a case that's designed to hold the LCD and the Pi. But I'm not real happy with how it came out. I'm probably just gonna buy the official one, cause the official case for that is only an additional $20, so, you know, plus I might have the chance of finding something a little bit better, you know, I just wasn't happy with any of the designs on Thingiverse cause I want the 7-inch, a lot of people are starting to do 10-inch displays in this kind of deal, but I really want the 7, cause I think that's kinda ideal for like my portable Shack setup. Cause it can go pair up, it can pair up nicely with my Yaesu FT817ND, and it could do logging, CQR log, or YFK log, FLDigi, I can run FT8 on it, there's nothing ham radio wise that this little thing can't do. So, that is, unless I decide to throw it on my OMV, but, you know, I think one of these days I'm going to break down and buy a QNAP, kind of like a Pat and Dan Fry. Because I want to get some serious storage. And probably the next biggest thing, though, that's hard for me storage-wise is not just storing all the video clips I've taken over the years, but figuring out where they are after I've, like, where's that video clip I did 3 years ago at church? I'd have to go. It would probably take me an hour or two to find it now. even with my somewhat meticulous filing system, you know. So what I would really like it is if somebody would have like some sort of web-based organizer for that stuff, but that's why I upload a lot of stuff to Google Photos anyway. But I'm excited.
All right.
I think this stuff's all going to work out well.
I know you're gushing over this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I
don't
want to piss on the parade here and make it sound like, hey, this is an awesome device. Because it is. Obviously, it is an awesome device. But I have to really question their marketing strategy of promoting this as
what,
like,
marketing strategy?
as a desktop device.
They are not saying that.
Well, no, they are saying that.
Are they?
On their website. Their website says meet your new desktop. Get your new desktop computer starting at $35.
Mm-hmm.
And so that comes back to like the micro, the tool, dual 4K displays, support for that. Like, I'm,
mm-hmm.
That's great, but why? I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. I won't run a 4K display on it.
Trying to run this thing as a desktop, which, you know, that comes back to like, I hate to say it, but trying to get the Pinebook using it as a desktop, it's really slow.
I'll tell you that. Well, that one, I don't even know the full underlying specs on the Pinebook.
Yeah, but it's not that much. Like, yeah, there's obviously a little bit of an upgrade. It's a quad core processor. It has 1, 2, or 4 gigabytes of RAM. You know, the Pinebook is a quad core processor. Maybe not, you know, obviously it's probably not the same speed, but I do have to question whether it's going to be that big of a leap.
Yeah.
From that. And it's, you know, 2 gigabytes on the Pinebook. So unless you're going for the 4 gigabyte, even then,
which,
you know.
That, to me, that's the only one worth it. Cause if you only go for the 512 or was it 512 or 2 on the, two of the lower ones, Rich? I can't remember.
I can think of a ton of awesome things to do with this. I'm kind of skeptical of it being like a desktop.
It depends on what your desktop uses is. Are you going to be editing 4K video on a Raspberry Pi? Hell no. You know,
right. Well,
you're not going to be doing
that. They're saying, hey, browse the web and, you know, open files and stuff. You know, okay. I'm a little skeptical about browsing the web because it's so freaking heavy anymore when you try to browse. It's not.
Yeah. That's fair.
The web is killer.
Yeah, it says your tiny dual display desktop computer. Yeah, they probably shouldn't have said that.
But on the flip side is I bet you this will play the shit out of videos.
Well, yeah, I was going to say going further than one hardware spec thing that I did leave out was that the GPU is capable of hardware decoding H.265 video. So it basically, the CPU won't break a sweat decoding video, so it should play video really well. So
I mean, it's exciting.
Yep.
I give it that.
It's a direction they need to go. This is actually one of the ham radio groups, which, cause these things are just doing gangbusters for ham radio for all the digital modes and even just for having a nice small logging computer. Heck, Southeast Linux Fest uses them for the registration computers if you haven't registered beforehand. And if you're going there, you should register beforehand. But anyway, there's several that said, well, I'd like it if it was more RAM, more than 4 gigs of RAM. And I'm like, I'm right there with you, but I'm going to take this because, you know, if there are other SBCs that have more RAM than that, and I'm pretty sure there are, what's the OS support going to be like? The thing is the Raspberry Pi is like the VHS cassette of single board computers. It's the juggernaut. Everyone knows what it is. Well, at least in our community. my dad doesn't know and doesn't really care. My nephew knows, but everyone knows, you know, if anyone has ever heard of a single board, single chip, computer and a single board computer like this, they know usually know it's the Raspberry Pi. So there's OS support for, you have OS support that others don't have on a Raspberry Pi, which is good. I mean, Raspbian is fairly up to date. There's Diet Pi. You got multiple versions of Android that you can run on it. Gosh, what else? OpenELEC, which is basically turned into... OpenSUSE runs on it now? Okay.
It's run on it for a long time.
And if you care, you got Windows 10 will run on it now, too. Although I can't imagine it would be very good.
I tried it, couldn't get it to work.
Well, and I'm not even talking about there's been the IoT version, but you can actually have a full desktop now.
Yeah, I couldn't get it. Yeah.
Yeah, most people I know of really couldn't make it work. Part of the problem with that is how many ARM binaries are there for Windows 10? Almost none. You're pretty much limited to what you can download out of the Microsoft Store there.
Now, my question, since I haven't done too much research on this, other than, you know, seeing everybody announcing it, looking at the specs and the price. Are the distributions, like, ready to go for this? Is it?
I think by
the
time
there's a new Pi distro?
Is there? Good.
Yep.
I was going to say, that's what a lot of people said Monday, but I'm like, by the time anybody gets this, all of them will be updated to take advantage of the new hardware. You know it, I know it.
Well, I hope so.
And I was right.
Is there distro noob? Is that the Raspberry Pi distro? Noobs?
Yeah, noobs is the format. Basically, that's the basic installer deal. You flash that onto the card with a – heck, you can just do that with a DD, I think. And then you boot the Pi off of that, and then you select what you want to install.
Oh, yeah. So noobs is what you use to get the OS
Raspbian.
On there.
Yeah, it's just
Raspbian, Diet Pi, OpenELEC, is there straight XBMC or is it only the OpenELEC version?
I think it's only OpenELEC.
Yeah, I think you're right. But you can put all that on it just by booting noobs. Now, you don't have to boot noobs. I believe there's an official spin of Ubuntu for it somewhere. Maybe even 19... Is 1904 on it yet? I don't know. I haven't looked. Yeah. But it's almost guaranteed to be running either Mate or LXDE, which, you know,
it's backwards compatible, so you can run all of the prior OSs on it. So that's the good part. The unfortunate thing is, I love and I hate backwards compatibility because that means a current machine is going to suck longer. That's as far as I'm concerned, you should do backwards compatibility in a VM.
Yep, and actually, yep, there's a new version of Noobs, 3.1.1, it's a 6/24/2019. So, and Noobs Lite, which is network install only, also has a new version as well. Noobs Lite actually would be interesting. I haven't tried Noobs Lite. It's probably a smaller download.
Well, yeah, it'd be a smaller download, but then it's going to have to.
But then it has to pull everything off
over
the
whatever
board.
OS you're going to cool down. I mean, I wonder how.
See, I'm a big fan of Diet Pie. And look, here's the thing. USB 3 fixes a lot of evil. The two monitor setup is something I've personally been wanting for a very long time. The other thing interesting in ARM world I did is I used my N2 and I set up LVM, which is Logical Volume Manager, with a bunch of disparate disks and, got it all working as one volume. So I gotta do further testing. I did a little bit of smoke testing on it, but I really need to do a little bit of long-term testing. So I'm kind of excited, but I really want to run a kilowatt on it to find out how much power I'm sucking up and whether it's worth it or not.
Out of the box, LVM doesn't do any data protection, right? So if you lose one of those drives, the data that was on there...
Your volume should be bound, right?
You'll lose the data that was on. You won't lose the volume, so to speak, but you'll just lose what was stored on that one, on that storage,
yeah,
right?
I think you see, I'm not sure. I know a little bit more about vSAN because I've been studying it, the VMware vSAN, and I think it's based on LVM. And you can do striping with vSAN. I'm assuming you can do some striping with LVM also, but I haven't read that yet about LVM. And guys, somebody else is calling me because I've got to talk about a new technology announcement on another podcast.
He's got to go mini PC.
Yeah, so have fun.
I was going to talk about a couple of Florida towns hit with
uh-oh.
Ransomware.
Uh-oh, not my town. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do it. I don't have anything to
Lake
do with
City?
It.
Well, before we do that, let's I just kind of want to touch a little bit on some of the other OSs. For the Pi, and then we can move on. So you got another one I'm not familiar with is OSMC. Have you seen that yet, Pat?
Nope.
Yep, that one I think is available there, and there's just a bunch. There's too many to cover right now, so.
For, ransomware. To answer your earlier question, Joel, Noobs is 1.4 gigabytes. Noobs Lite is 37 megabytes.
Okay.
It's a big difference. Big difference.
I download the bigger one just because, yeah, I don't like waiting for all that when I'm setting up a Pi.
So Florida ransomware, Pat.
Yeah, there's two cities where this happened recently. One was Lake City. And, well, the other one was Rivera Beach. One was for $462,000. The other one was for $600,000.
That's what you get for using Linux, right? Open source software.
You would think.
Yeah, is that what happens? Mm-hmm. No, it was probably Windows, wasn't it?
More than likely, they don't mention the operating system. It's an article in the Wall Street Journal.
Yes, I was just looking through it. That's...
Woo. Yeah, and there was one outside of Atlanta. Jackson County. They paid, I think, around $400,000 recently over the winter. I think it was in February.
Wow. That is something.
It's kind of pathetic, you think about it.
Yep.
Some of these cities employ a lot of people.
Well, and people wonder why I'm not a huge fan of government taking over things like healthcare and other stuff like that. That's an exact reason why.
But this happens to everything. It happens to businesses,
oh, I know.
Too.
Baltimore had a really bad one, and I think the estimate was... They had, I think it was 18 million damage.
Wait a minute. They must not have been using Windows 10, because wasn't Secure Boot supposed to protect us from all this?
Secure Boot? Everyone I know of ends up Depending on who you go to, they might have it disabled.
You know, anyway. You know, it always blows me away that still to this day, you know, after the constant deluge of training and news reports and over, like, don't open attachments, don't ever do this. And still, it happens all the time. People are always opening attachments.
That, you know, it's funny you mention that, because one thing our RIT department does is they'll send out these emails trying to catch you.
Right.
Yeah, they do the same thing at my place.
Right. But, you know, so they do those, and those usually are the easiest ones to fucking spot. Although they almost got me the last time. The last one that went out, they said my Slack account was, I asked for my Slack account to be, disabled, and I'm like, no, I didn't do that. So I go up and click the fish button and bingo bango, there it was. So it was actually a pretty good one. But anyway, they do those things, and those systems usually have the worst, you know, they have the, you know, the earmarks that you can look at and find it, but then, And all the policies will say, well, don't click on links, don't do this, and don't do that. But then what do we end up doing? We send links. We send images. We send attachments.
HTML,
we do all those
mail.
Things.
HTML mail.
Yeah. So, I mean.
That's obfuscated. Wouldn't hide where it's coming from.
I like JavaScript in my email.
Yeah. The specification
is seen. Might as well, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you know, so, but, I mean, if you're gonna say not to do that, then basically you shouldn't be sending links via email, but we all do it. You know it. I know it. So, I mean, that's the thing that gets me about a lot of this stuff. So it's like, no wonder people click on bullshit. You know, so.
Do you guys, does your company still use email pretty heavily?
Yeah, we do all the time.
Like, we don't.
Email and Slack.
Well, I should say, like, the people that I correspond with on a regular basis don't use a lot of email.
Yeah, I realize where I'm working. Yeah. I'm working in higher ed, so, I mean.
Yeah, there is that. So mine is absolutely not at all. But, like, I'll get stuff from
we have to use
people
it.
In the company.
Compliance.
Well, yeah, you work in financial area, right?
Financial, yeah. They're right. Very, very sticklers. They have to keep records and shit.
Yep. Well, it also makes me think about how often companies and colleges and others end up having somebody like Microsoft with Office 365 or Google with Gmail handle their email. And one of the big reasons that Gmail even existed in the first place was so that Google can get that data. If it's a free service, it's not the product, you are. So that is something to think about. So unfortunately, I'm too much of a Google idiot. I use all the Google stuff. I love my Pixel 2. It's going to be, when I upgrade it, it's going to be either a Pixel 3 XL or a Pixel 4, whichever one's available when I finally do go to do that, which is probably I'm trying to hang on until the next Google announcement. And then I'll probably upgrade to the 4 XL or whatever it is.
So speaking of Florida, and speaking of email, reminds me of Claudio and Fostodon, which
Fostodon
has been a wall of Claudio postings.
It's the only social network
for
he's
me.
On.
And I'm like, it is like, I know what he's doing. All throughout the day. up until he leaves.
He shares everything there, man.
I'm like, it's just like one Claudio. And it's,
Facebook was.
I'll tell you, you're probably right. I don't know. I don't really use Twitter that much. And I don't use Facebook that much. But Fostodon is very, very, very chatty. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, my favorite was I shared a link there in some dude I don't even follow. It was a YouTube, I forget one of the, it's one of the YouTube links I shared on there. He's like, why are you sharing this? I'm like, did you fucking watch the video? I'm not going to sit there and text why this is relevant when I share a YouTube video. I'm just going to share the fucking YouTube video. But Klaatu's on there too. The nice thing with Mastodon slash Fostodon, well, it's Fostodon is just the host that we chose to use, thanks to Murph. The nice thing about it is Claudio's not even on Fostodon. He's on a different Mastodon host, Mastodon XYZ. So, and because the way Federation works, you can follow someone on another Mastodon instance and be on your own.
That's pretty cool. It's decentralized.
Yep. It's kind of decentralized. The only kind of semi-dangerous thing I've heard specifically with the No Agenda Mastodon instance, No Agenda, that would be Adam Curry's show with John C. Dvorak. They have their own Mastodon instance because of the same things with Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. And there are some Mastodon instances that block them. So, because they don't want to, because they're calling them, Nazi quadroons and all that just because of their political views don't match up with theirs. So, that is possible on Mastodon. Your instance, if you fire up your own instance, it could be blocked on the Fediverse. So depending on, now it's not centralized, so it would only be certain people exist on those, instances that wouldn't be able to get to the other one. So it's just as easy to just fire up and start another account on another Mastodon server if there's a Mastodon host that you need to follow that's not on your own or the one you're on, blocks them. So it's going to be extremely hard to block somebody on Mastodon. It would take quite a bit of effort and coordination. Thanks to its decentralized nature. So, and the best part is there's no Mark Zuckerberg or what's the dude from Twitter? I forget what.
Weirdo.
Evan, I don't know. I don't even know his name. I don't care.
He's a weirdo, that guy.
Twitter's a cesspool anyway.
It is. I'm off of there. I'm not on there anymore.
I'm on there only because I just like to follow some of the bullshit, and I do like to shitpost too. But
Pee-wee's been very active lately. There's been a lot of people coming over from different groups on Facebook.
There are a lot of people going over to MeWe, but MeWe has the same problem Facebook has in that it's centralized.
Yes.
I mean, I find it very impressive that you could just hook up with people across a bunch of different instances. It's not that difficult.
Yep. Well, wasn't Identica supposed to be that way at some point?
Is this at all related to Identica?
I don't think it is.
No, I don't think so.
It's built off of Mastodon, right?
But yes, that was the idea.
Yep. I mean, because
you run your own localized instance and then open it up to the larger.
The larger Laconica one, I think. Identica was the main one, the centralized one that, but you could connect your other ones, your own instance to that, if I remember right. But that sounds pretty nice. Discord is too, but mostly because it's got things that Mastodon doesn't have. We could technically record the show using Discord if we wanted to.
Are you using the client, one of the clients on
a Discord?
Not Discord.
For Mastodon?
Yeah.
Fostodon? I'm using Tusky.
Yeah.
I tried, there was another one, I can't remember the other one I tried. I tried it, and it was okay too, but I threw it out on there, using my browser. I asked them what's their favorite Android client, and most everyone came back with Tusky. So that's the one I've kind of went with.
I gotta try that one.
But Tusky works pretty well. Probably my only thing with Mastodon is it doesn't really have really great threading. So it's not, you know, like when if you're having a conversation back and forth, like me and Claudio were talking about a Raspberry Pi, a 7-inch LCD cases for the Pi and the LCD. And, it can get hard to follow if you're not on top of it. But, so it really needs some better threading. But beyond that, it's not too bad.
I like how, like, I'm looking through this and there's this blurred out image, like sensitive material, you know? Like
it's porn or something. Lunch.
I click on it, it's Claudio showing the upgrade screen for his BSD upgrade. I'm like, okay. I don't know where the sensitive material is, but we got it.
Yeah. Or like my Wednesday night plan, sensitive comment or content.
Yeah. So
you click on it and yeah, he's got a laptop, two laptops, and one of them has got the debate on it, which I'm like, who the frick wants to watch that?
Yeah, I agree with you about the threading thing, cause it'll just like throw up something that somebody responded to that somebody I know liked or agreed with or something, and I'm like, Claudio liked this or however they, or tooted this or something. I forget what they call it. And it's like, you're in the middle of some kind of conversation that's happening between two people you don't even know. And it's just like, okay.
It's like, I wish, I bet you, I wonder if I can probably tweak the feed so it's just people I follow instead of the public flow. I don't really care about the public flow.
Yeah, I'm trying to look into preferences right now. Like the sensitive content thing, you could disable that and it'll just always show media marked as sensitive, or it'll hide all media.
And a retweet is called a boost, and when you tweet, it's a toot, which a toot is what Dan does in the elevator.
Yeah, the boost, that's it. Yeah, I'll give you a toot.
Has lists too. I'll have to explore that a little bit more.
It has lists?
Yep. Right under favorites. I don't know what the lists are for yet. I'll have to figure that out. More importantly, where's 5150? He should be there too, either on Fostadon or the Mastodon XYZ. Really,
he's on
doesn't
there.
Matter.
He's on there. I follow 5150. He's got 25 shirt. Toots. He's on Fostadon, actually.
I probably follow him, but.
Yeah, you follow him. You're listed as one of his followers.
Shows you how much I pay attention.
There you go. I'll say this.
Yeah, he's local too.
I kind of like Fostadon better than Discord.
I agree with that. Well, Discord has a lot of things that it does. It's a little bit more. That's right. He replied to me about the steady work with the video I did from Southeast for the last Southeast Linux Fest on YouTube.
Yeah, my problem with like Discord is like it becomes a burden depending on like whatever Discord group you get involved with. Like ours isn't that bad, I don't think.
No, ours
is good. There's like one channel, but some of them have like like so many different channels.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, well, how can you, I don't have time to keep, I barely have time to keep up with one channel, let alone, you know, these 15 other ones.
Yeah, some of the ones, like some of the ones I've gotten into on Discord have like a NSFW group, you know, so that people can share their booby pics or whatever they want to share.
Well, what the hell are you being a part of, huh?
It's one of the YouTubers I watch. He has his own Discord, and there's a group of them that'll put like bikini pics and stuff like that. You know, they're most of it. I don't know, saying it's not most of it's that kind of stuff and not porn, but although that the main one that did that, he actually shut his Discord down because I forget exactly why. But with Discord, some people are real, like dictators with their own Discords. It depends on which group you are. You know, our Discord's pretty lax. We don't really use it that much, but you know, it's there. I think the one thing I like about Discord is that that anybody, like, you know, like we can have our own Discord and somebody else can have their own Discord. You don't have to, you know, if you're in your own Discord group, then you don't have to see the other BS that's in the other Discord groups. Unlike Fostadon or anything else.
I don't know if I like the advanced interface. That's just... I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Oh, and I have two-factor turned on Discord for my own login. I mean, I cannot implore people, if you don't use two-factor authentication, do it. It seems like a hassle when you're first getting used to it, but after a while, you'll be glad that you did. First time somebody announces that salted passwords were shared, you know your account's just fine.
You know when two-factor authentication isn't fun?
When you lose your second factor?
When your phone breaks. And you forgot where you put your codes.
Print them backup codes.
Yeah, make sure you get your backup codes. Because it's not fun when things go bad.
I've done that on Google. A lot more of my clients are starting to use it too. For like, I have one that I'm working with this month that has a Duo for their second factor.
Yeah, and also remember, if you're gonna switch your phone or wipe it out or whatever, like.
Put the backup codes.
Either get the backup codes handy or disable the two-factor authentication until you can you get your new phone set up and re-enable it again.
Google's is pretty easy with that. I usually don't have too much of a problem with theirs. Amazon I had more of a problem with. And also another one, Discord. it's funny, I forgot, I didn't. I think I wiped my phone and put Authenticator back on there, and I was trying to add the Discord to the Authenticator. Well, you can't do it unless you have the old Authenticator. Fortunately, I still have my phone, and that's where I authenticated it, so I was able to switch it over that way. So.
Yeah, make sure you remember all the applications that you have enabled two-factor for. So
I've got three.
When that change happens, you're ready to go with what you
I have three in Google Authenticator. I have Google itself, I have Amazon, and I have Discord. For work, we use Okta. Okta has two-factor, and actually I like theirs a little bit better. Because it does connect to your phone, But basically, does a push verification, so you'll get a little notification on your phone, and you just go in and tap that, and no typing of numbers. As long as you got your phone, you're good to go.
Yeah, you don't have to use like their push notification. You can use like Google Authenticator with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all depends. Like for the longest time, I was doing that, and then I switched back over to Google Authenticator from Okta.
Yeah.
And now every time I log into the VPN, it asks me, "Where do you want to send it to? Push it to your phone or use Google Authenticator?"
All right. Now, Facebook has their own. So I do have two-factor turned on for my Facebook. The only kind of annoying thing is the first time you log in to either a new computer or even a new browser on the same computer, it sends, depending on how you have it set up, it can send you a text message, it can send you a Facebook message and an email all at the same time whenever you sign on to a new device, which is a little annoying, but I actually tweaked off and turn down some of those. I'm like, I don't need you to send me a Facebook message about me logging into a new computer so that I can tell you that it was okay.
Oh, you know where I have that problem? And I've been meaning to look into this. Is every time, like, I go in to my Roku and fire up YouTube, it asks to sign in, right? And every time I sign in, Google sends me an indication that just like that new thing is like, oh, something accessed your account. Huh. Did you verify this? And I'm like, yeah, I did. And I I'd be fine with just auto signing into my YouTube account and my Roku.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do it. Like, and it's not that hard. I mean, I'm impressed with how you do it. Like you click on the YouTube app, you click on sign in, and you go to your app, your phone, and you go to your profile, and then it picks up
put
that
the
you're
number
on your phone,
in, yeah.
And it says, you don't even have to put the number in. It just picks it automatically up and it says, hey, you know, the Roku wants to use your account. And do you want to enable that? And I say, yes. And like I said, maybe somewhere there's a setting that I tripped that says, mm-hmm. don't save this information or, you know,
right.
verify every time. So,
cause I just set up, I bought another, we had a, back when we got our first HDTV, that I bought that off of a friend and he even bought it brand new. But Tracy Holtz was kind enough to send me a Roku, and he sent me a Roku 2XS. Well, the 2XS is a little long in the tooth. And some application, not to mention the fact it's slow as fuck with the latest Roku software on there. So I broke down and bought a brand new Roku 4, the top of the line Roku 4, and set it up for my wife in the bedroom. And, it's pretty nice. It has the wireless remote. So if I wanted to watch TV in there and didn't want the sound coming out the TV, plug a set of headphones into the remote. And then it wirelessly sends the sound to me, to my ears. So what you can do, like with the Roku app, which is usually how I end up accessing it, is via the Roku app instead of the remote itself. That's how I do our living room TV as well. And I can actually, with that Roku app itself, it also lets you do that too. So if you don't have the remote with the headphone jack, you can just have it route to your phone's headphones, either the Bluetooth or the wired ones. It doesn't matter. So that's kind of nice too. So I can do that. I do that in the living room, but I just like the fact, you know, for my TV in the living room, I don't even need to have the regular remote. I just use my phone with it. No IR needed. It's all Wi-Fi. And yeah, I don't have root on that, but I don't really care.
When did the Roku 4 come out?
It's been a couple years, I think.
So I'm wondering if I have one of those. I can't remember if it's the 4 or what. I'm trying to think of the remote that's with it. I wonder if it has a headphone jack in it. It might, but I never really paid attention to that.
Yeah, if it's one of the ones that like doesn't look like a stick, then it probably does. It just depends on where you got it. Cause I've seen the Roku 4, like at Sam's Club, and it has an IR remote, not the RF remote. The one I bought, I believe I bought ours on Amazon. I confirmed before I pressed order that it had the RF remote because I don't want the freaking IR remote.
Hold on one second. I'll be right back. Bring up a topic, Joel. Mm-hmm. Talk to yourself. I'll be right back.
Yeah, my mother, I set her up with the Roku sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And they work, for the most part, they work okay. The only problem is the Sling TV app, when it does an update, it always breaks, and you have to delete it and re-add it back.
That's goofy.
It's kind of annoying. Yeah, I opened up trouble tickets at both Roku and Sling, and neither one of them have responded.
See, I use our cable provider has an app, so I actually use that over the cable box 90% of the time. I can also load the app on like Android or iOS as well. So,
yeah, I've been using YouTube TV. That's what I've been using lately.
Sorry about that, Joel.
I love YouTube TV. I just wish they would have other things on there.
Yeah, I wish it would get rid of one thing. I won't mention it.
What, NRA TV?
No, the Young Turks.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I like it.
And another story that I shared in the Discord, NASA JPL was hacked by another unauthorized Raspberry Pi.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Would they have, like, a Chinese contractor or something?
I think so. I don't know if it was Chinese or not, but I think that's probably what it is. They didn't really say what it is. What bothers me more... Actually, they does say who was the carried out by an APT group, whatever that is. But what concerns me more is the fact that this isn't the first time this has happened. And not... specifically with the pies, it wasn't always the pie, but this kind of thing has happened at least 4 or 5 times at JPL.
My brother had a friend who worked at JPL. He literally was a rocket scientist.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still there, but he was there years ago.
Actually, it happened in 2009, 2011, 2014, 2016, and 2017.
Sounds like they got their shit together.
And my understanding is they actually got files and stuff regarding the Mars mission.
That's got China written all over it.
Yeah.
Or Russia.
But important to know, and I know most of our fans probably know, but if you're not an IT kind of guy, don't take your Pi with you to work and plug it into your network at work, or even if you bring your own personal laptop, don't bring it to work and plug it in either.
So what are you trying to say? It's a bad idea to bring a hard drive full of porn to work and plug it in and watch it while your feet plunge?
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea either.
That's outrageous.
Heck, I remembered when I had my Nokia N770 at work. We had Wi-Fi and all that, and what I was trying to do was I was trying to SSH into it from my laptop. I screwed up. I was trying to SSH into the router instead. Network guys come knocking on my door.
I was gonna say,
I'm like, sorry.
They come by and ask what the hell you're doing. Some places they'll fire you for doing shit like that.
That's true. They should, really. wonder where Joe's at.
Joe had
good company.
Company show up, so he had to jet. Right. So what do you think the brouhaha about Ubuntu dropping 32 bit support and then
re-adding it back
and re-adding for library compatibility?
I guess they underestimated how many Linux hackers also loaded Steam on their laptop. Because I guess the Steam client is still 32-bit.
It has, well, I don't think the Steam client is 32-bit. There's a lot of games that only run 32-bit. Particularly through Wine and backwards compatibility. Like, there's a shit ton of Windows games that are just...
I was going to say Wine.
Yeah, 32-bit.
A lot of the libraries it uses, it's all 32-bit.
So, there's still a lot of that out there. I see both sides of that. I mean, I get that. And it kind of surprised me at first that, you know, Ubuntu as being the probably dominant Linux desktop distribution, and, you know, Steam even came out, I think, as saying, like, they were, like, Ubuntu was well integrated, Steam was well integrated into Ubuntu. And I guess, I don't think Debian is dropping 32-bit library support, is it?
Nope.
So, I don't get why it's such a, like, there's...
Especially since they can just pull from the upstream, you know?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's a support issue and they don't want to support 32-bit application/libraries anymore or installations, at which point, I mean, there's got to be a way to differentiate between supported and unsupported software. I mean, have a separate repo that's unsupported. I think maybe that already exists. I don't think Ubuntu, if you pay them for support, supports everything that you can install on there. I could be wrong, but I don't know. It seemed like a really kind of dumb move.
Oh, no way. I forgot about, I must have got it off of a free deal. But Dirt Showdown runs on Linux too.
So what?
The Dirt Showdown game. It's like a dirt racing game. Oh. That runs on Linux too. I got exactly 3 games in my Steam library that will run on Linux. DEF CON, Dirt Showdown, and Portal 2.
You paid 99 cents for all of it?
Some of that stuff was free. And not free to play either. I got, like, somebody gave a code out and I was able to get it for free. But I paid 99 cents for Portal 2, which is well worth it. That's still a great game.
Is Skype still running on Linux?
I don't even know if Skype's running on Microsoft anymore.
Really? No, that's still around, Skype.
Skype for Business is gone.
Yeah. Really?
Yep. They got rid of it for Business. That's why we switched to Slack.
Why did great Microsoft buy something and ruin it?
Well, wasn't Skype originally distributed as well?
Yeah. It was like a Danish company, wasn't it? Or Lithuanian or something?
I don't know.
I forget. It's been a while.
Oh, man, Friday I might have to pick up Kerbal Space Program. It's a Windows-only game, but it's still a fun game. It's essentially where you build rockets to launch into space. And you're launching not humans, but Kerbals.
What's a Kerbal?
It's just like a little cartoon guy. And you're launching from Planet Kerbal.
Linux users can now make Skype calls from Google Chrome.
Yeah. Borderlands 2 is $5. Windows and Apple only.
What? I thought Borderlands 2 ran on Linux.
It says Windows, well, it has Windows, Apple, and Steam. So I guess if you have Steam Box, it might run on there, but I don't think it'll run on Linux. I'm not going to buy it just to find out, because not really my kind of game.
They still have a client for Linux. I don't know how updated it is.
Final Fantasy franchise is 50% off. Farming Simulator is 50% off. Now, here's one I might have to pick up. 74% off the whole Star Wars X-Wing series. All of them for $10.40. The complete collection of Star Wars franchise games is $83. That includes both X-Wing and the Jedi Knight connection, like KOTOR and all that.
I don't have time for gaming. I really don't.
I don't play a lot of games either. Occasionally. I kind of treat games like I used to treat movies. I only buy the ones I know I'm going to play more than once.
So you're going to play the X-Wing collection?
I probably would. I never owned that game to begin with back in the day when it first came out.
Does that include like Rogue One and everything?
I don't think it does, but let me, I'm trying to bring it up.
There were a lot of games that came out.
The last game I think I played was one of Call of Duty ones. Like one of the early ones. Maybe two? Call of Duty 2, I'm going to say.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Star Wars. Yeah, okay.
No. I don't game, man. I really don't have time for it.
See, the Star Wars bundle, Windows only, for almost all of it. Although two of them will run on Apple. It's X-Wing, TIE Fighter, X-Wing Alliance, and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. For $10.48. Don't really only saving about $3.50. But those are old games too. I don't know why those wouldn't work. I mean, you can probably, if you had like a machine, like a Steam box, you could play it through the Steam client, I think. Streaming it.
And you guys play the old Civilization games? The one I used to play was Alpha Centauri.
Yeah. I played that. I played one called Moonbase. That was a really old game. That ran on the 286 back in the day. Then I played Outpost. I think Outpost was one of those games that was so broke when it shipped you could never finish the game. There was actually a bug that would prevent you from the game. See, I don't understand how that wouldn't work on there. See, for some of the old games, you know, a lot of people like to download them and play them, or they'll build like a you get a guy like God, why can't I remember his name? Clint from Lazy Game Reviews. He'll build like an old 90s 486 machine just so he can play some of the old games, because trying to get it to work on modern Windows or a modern machine, you know, either you got problems and it plays like really, really, like the clock's way off and it's too fast to play it, or it just doesn't run. So then you can get companies like Steam and good old games to basically rearrange it and refactor it so that it will run on a modern hardware. That's what you need for a lot of the older games.
That and DOSBox, right?
Yep. And no one, like, I don't think, I have to look and see if it's in Steam, but I would really love to be able to play the old MechWarrior 2 game.
Redneck Rampage.
That was a fun game too back in the day.
It was. Gary Coleman. Now, which one was Gary Coleman? Gary Coleman was in
Different Strokes.
No, the game that he was in with the really bad movie of
Postal,
it.
Wasn't it?
Postal, yeah, Postal 2.
Postal 2, yes.
That was a fun game too.
Yeah, Postal 1 was a top-down isometric kind of view, and then Postal 2 was first-person shooter. Yeah, and they all ran on Linux.
Uh-oh. MechWarrior Online Solaris 7 is free to play.
Oof, Solaris.
Not the OS. Solaris 7 is the name of a planet in the MechWarrior, in the BattleTech universe. It's actually in BattleTech, in the board game and in the video games, Solaris is essentially a planet where they, instead of battling for the planet itself, you're just battling each other in an arena with your mech. And I had bought one of the books in the Solaris 7 series. I had bought was a game scenario where the main protagonist in that particular game scenario, in the MechWarrior universe, if you didn't know anything about it, the MechWarrior was essential to making the mech go, because it actually kind of was the inner ear for the mechs and for its balancing systems. So, and you wore a helmet, right? So that it would basically have these sensors all across your brain, so that it would figure out, you know, basically use your inner ear to be the inner ear for the mech, so that it would walk straight and upright. Okay. The main character in this one scenario I had, I forget his name, but what he took it a step further, where he basically integrated the whole mech into his body and connected it directly to his brain with no helmet, nothing to buffer the signals. So if the mech took damage, it would actually damage the pilot in that case. So, but that was a neat, interesting scenario. But the MechWarrior universe is one of those universes. It's just so, it's like the D&D universe. It's just so deep. There's so much extra stuff that goes along with it, not just the board game itself, but the video game. And then there's the role-playing, and then there's the battle and all that.
It's like the Star Wars universe, all those books that came out back in, like, the 80s and 90s, West early
game,
2000s.
Role-playing game.
And then they freaking, you know, Disney bought them and basically said, none of them is canon, ignore.
I wonder if that also includes the role-playing game that West End Games had. Yeah, I bought all the books and stuff, but I never could find a group of guys to play those kind of board games. I never got into D&D itself.
It's satanic.
Part of the reason, yes, was that's what my mother always thought. But even when I was in college, though, I just never could get into it. I was never as much into the fantasy genre as I was into the sci-fi and the harder sci-fi. I know Star Wars is marginal on that, but
yeah, it's pretty light.
But at least it wasn't as the Force is mystical, but it wasn't as mystical as some of the stuff that happened in the D&D universe.
So are they going to do one more Star Wars movie and that's it?
That's a really good question.
I find that hard to believe, depending on how much they paid for it.
The Rise of Skywalker is coming out in December. And I don't know. I'm just not as excited about it as The Last Jedi.
I think it's going to be a shit show.
Well, if they'd actually... There was rumors after Last Jedi bombed as much as it did that they were going to get rid of Kathleen Kennedy. But, of course, that hasn't happened. But at least I think JJ's back for The Rise of Skywalker. So hopefully he fixed some of the shit that Rian Johnson fucked up. I mean, I wasn't like a lot of people who had as much of a problem with The Last Jedi. I saw it. I thought it was okay. It could have been better. Oh yeah.
My biggest issue was the character with the pink hair. She was like the
Admiral Holdo.
She was like the ultimate cock block. It's like, yeah, we have a hero who wants to be the hero, but we're not going to let him be the hero because we got this bitchy woman who's a total cock block.
Yeah, well,
awful.
Yeah, and that's the thing where they kind of screwed that up was they had someone who's just trying to be so strong and so brave, but women always were that in the Star Wars universe. If they just would have told a better story, it would have been fine. But no, they had to do that. That was Laura Dern's character too, by the way.
Awful.
Fortunately, Star Wars as a whole sucks.
The original three were okay, but
even like, see, I as a kid I liked the original three, and if they would have left it at the original three, it would have been fine. But then they had the prequels, and now
the only good one of the prequels was the last one.
Yes,
the big problem that was awesome with Star Wars is it presented a fantastical battle, which, you know, between the forces of good and the forces of evil, right? And then with the prequels, they muddied it all up by presenting this vaster universe that all this took place in. So, and then with the sequels, we're back to like, I can't figure out what the hell is going on in this universe.
Exactly.
Because this universe is
a big problem.
Massive.
What doesn't make sense is the New Republic took over, they won the war, but they're fighting an insurgency war.
A junta.
Totally does not make sense.
Yeah, I'm like, one of the big things I have is like, here you got the First Order running around just obliterating planets right and left. And the rest of the universe is like, well, you know, whatever's going on, right? Whatever. And you got this small group of what is it? It's not the rebels this time; they're the resistance, right?
Right.
They're the expeditionary army of the New Republic.
So, if the rebels won in Return of the Jedi,
why aren't they more powerful than they
exactly.
are?
Exactly.
Why aren't they doing like? And
is their fleet?
So, if the rebels won. And the First Order is just this, like, small branch of whatever. I don't know if it was a small branch of the Empire or whatever. How is it that they're decimating the universe and the resistance is so small and nobody seems to care?
My hope is that that is resolved in the next movie. I'm not holding my
breath. There's a lot of holes in the story.
Yeah. But, I mean, but then you're midway through the second movie and you kill the big baddie, Snoke. It's like, why?
Yeah. What does Snoke really do? I mean,
I know
it was just, and you know, and the whole like all this is just a story of how the Skywalker family fucks everything up.
Basically,
every time, like messes it up all the time. Get rid of the rise of Skywalker. No, don't let them rise. Get them out of here. Universe would be a better place without the Skywalker family.
I'll just blame it all on Anakin.
Yeah, lots of holes. I mean, you can nitpick it all day long.
Well, and I think one of the things, you know, what a lot of people seem to forget is why we hold the first three in such high regard. If you actually look at those, they weren't that great either. We just liked them because they were cool.
Kids. Yeah,
and we were kids. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Star Trek is infinitely better now. I mean, I've watched maybe an episode and a half of Discovery this season. I might watch the rest of it, but I'm actually quite a bit more excited about the Picard, the Picard series is coming than I am about watching the rest of Discovery. Mostly because it's just like, I'm like, you know, Discovery couldn't make up its mind whether it was in the Prime universe or the JJ-verse. You know, and that, I mean, and now it's obvious they're not going to make another JJ-verse movie. Pine and the rest of the cast has pretty much moved on. You know, Zoe Saldana, who played Uhura, she's got the Guardians to keep getting a paycheck. You know, you got Hemsworth, who was George Kirk, who was supposed to have come back for the fourth Star Trek in the JJ verse movies, but of course now that's not happening. Hemsworth has no desire to do that. He's working hard too. And a lot of the stuff that Hemsworth has been in lately has not done well. Other than the Marvel stuff.
Now, was he in the remake of Red Dawn? Was that him?
I do not know.
That was awful.
Which movie? Wait, who are we talking about?
The remake of Red Dawn.
But who are we talking about?
Hemsworth.
Is that him? I gotta look it up.
I just wish they'd make us new movies and not keep rehashing shit that's fucking old. Like,
oh yeah, Chris, are you talking about Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Hemsworth was in the Red Dawn movie. That's fucking sucked. That was a shitty movie, man. A remake.
Now some are saying that will Hemsworth be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3? Now that's officially a thing again. He probably will, because he left on the Benatar, so. And you know, for the next Avengers-type movie, Iron Man's not going to be back. Captain America is now Sam. And speaking of Endgame, they actually re-released it in the theaters now. It's in the theaters again with new footage, I heard.
Yeah, it's got like another ending scene or something.
May have to go watch it again.
Oh, I have a hard time getting to movies anymore.
Somebody suggested that they should bring Beta Ray Bill into the Marvel Universe, into the MCU, and have Liam Hemsworth play him.
Liam Hemsworth. well, Spider-Man comes out this week. Not this week, I'm sorry. Next week.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Toy Story 4 is out now, and I have not seen it yet.
Maybe on that one.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah, this is a movie to take the kids to. Like, my daughter would like to see it.
Yeah, she'd like that.
I fell asleep in the last one.
I understand why. It was pretty slow.
The
dun 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 dun.
Yeah. But 4th of July next week, no show. Everyone's going to be grilling or preparing to grill.
We're traveling.
My family. Yep. My family gathering is actually Saturday. So I was going to bake a cheesecake, but I think I'm going to I have all the stuff, almost all the stuff I need for it, but I think what I'm going to do is my church is having a bake sale to help raise money to buy socks and underwear for homeless kids.
That's cool.
Not exactly sure how they set that up, but okay. But I'm thinking that I may make some little cheesecakes and muffin tins. That way you can it's easier to sell, you know. Instead of selling a whole cake or having to slice the cake to give somebody a slice of cake to take home. I mean, I could make a whole cake, and I'd say put $10 on it. It's more worth it, and I know it would go. my cheesecakes are awesome. Cheesecake is awesome. I like cheesecake.
It's good. A lot of calories.
Yep. Well, especially the kind I make. I don't make just plain old cheesecake. I make like a. See, I've made an Oreo one before. I made a salted caramel one, which was fantastic. I wasn't sure what I was going to make this time. If I make one, what I might do is I might make it plain and then get like a couple cans of pie filling, like some strawberries and some cherries, and put it on top of it.
Can't go wrong with that.
Hey, Dan, I don't think so.
I had one of the most disgusting, disappointing beers I've ever had.
What was that?
It was from Dogfish Head, which is very shocking.
What was it?
Beer?
Yeah, it was a lime and sea salt, and it was fucking disgusting.
That doesn't even sound good. Even if I drank beer, it doesn't sound good.
Every beer I've had from Dogfish Head is actually quite good. This stuff was like borderline vomit. It was disgusting.
What was what really was bad about it?
It was very acidic. It had it was the salt accentuated the lime taste to the point that it almost gave it like a vinegary taste. It could have probably been used for like a vinaigrette dressing. It probably wouldn't have been so bad.
Interesting. Now, yeah, I'm surprised because I pretty much like everything from Dogfish Head.
Yeah,
that
everything
I've
had from them before was good. This was disgusting.
Now, I will say that. Have you ever had anything from Sweetwater?
Yes.
I had. This was at last year's Southeast Linux Fest. They had a Sweetwater, a cucumber one. And it was the most disgusting beer I've ever tried.
It does sound disgusting.
This is probably worse.
I wonder how the sea salt and lime would fare.
Now, see, somebody brought up, and this is something, if I go to Southeast Linux Fest next year, I may do this. The beer tasting thing is great if you drink, but there are people who don't. So, I got to talking with like Chuck Payne and a couple of the others, and if I go next year, what I may end up doing is load up on like local soda variants. Like I've talked about L8 one before. Bring a case or two of that. Bring a case or two of Cheerwine in, and things that that people who don't want to drink can enjoy. That's just something I thought about doing, and I might talk to Jeremy about that, because I don't drink and I don't care, but I can do that. And then like a good example of that, for you, Dan, you could bring it go down to Colonial Williamsburg and get a pack or two of the ginger ale or the root beer down there, because that stuff's pretty damn good. Actually, you probably just go to the store, because I've seen that at the grocery stores down there too. But. Stuff that you can't, like, stuff that isn't, like, your standard Pepsi, Sprite, stuff like that, you know. Because that's one area that a lot of people kind of don't remember is that kind of stuff. It's different. Worth a shot anyway.
That's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Plus, it'll help the beer last longer too, because you can swap back and forth between the two. Not that I don't think you ever have they ever run out. Did they run out last year? I don't know.
No, they did not run out last year. There was so much beer.
I'd say they probably had to take some home.
Who was it? You know, actually, I'm trying to think now. No, it had to be last year. No, it was the year before. I stand corrected. I think it was the year before's Linux, not last year's, but the year before last, that I had the cucumber beer, because that was the same year that okay. Sheldon was there. Sheldon wasn't back for the 10th anniversary. And he drank so much beer, and they were doing a whiskey and scotch tasting too. He drank so much, he was puking in a garbage can and then going back to get more beer. I was like, you are freaking insane. That's disgusting. But he couldn't even drink the cucumber beer. But the Dogfish Head Salt and Lime, what's it called? Does it have a name?
It was lime and salt water. It's, yeah. Disgusting. Just gross. It might be okay for like marinating, maybe doing like one of those beer chicken things, or maybe even
that might not be too bad. That might not.
Yeah, that's about it.
Sequench ale, is that what it is? A sour is brewed with black limes and sea salt.
Yeah, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. The worst.
I need to go over to way down yonder and get me some crawfish etouffee. Unfortunately, they're closed right now. Cause they've been very, so popular that they're trying to hire more people so they can be faster.
You know what I might do, Pat? I just, if I could, I don't know if the grocery stores do it.
You gotta go try it.
Places do it around up in Pennsylvania. Maybe Wegmans does. I don't know.
But oh, just down, buy a bottle of it.
You can buy it. That's what I did. I had picked up a 12 pack of, Lincoln Kugels, you know, those. Yeah. Summer shanties, I like those.
Lining Kugels, yeah.
Like the lemon one I like. So I had a 12 pack of that, and I was like, oh, Dogfish Head. I haven't had one of those in ages. I never tried this one, let me try it. Worst idea ever.
So you got a 6 pack of it, or you got like one?
Just a single, just one.
Pack, yeah, cause they have like, you can do like, which is weird because-
Like a 6 pack of various ones.
You can do that now. Like all the singles there, and you could put like a 6-pack of singles.
Yeah, yeah. They all do that now. All the supermarkets up there now.
And the funny thing is that's usually like $9 they charge for that. But you could find beers that they charge like $12 and $13 for a 6-pack, and just put them all like 6 of those in one of those $9
there
ones.
There you go.
And save yourself $3 or $4.
There you go. There's a life hack for you.
There you go. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. It's $15 for a 6-pack of this beer here, but if I take 6 of them, too, put them in there, yeah.
It's a good thing I don't drink anymore. One of the ones, like we were talking about it at Southeast Linux Fest, one of the things I always liked to drink when I did drink was Goldschlager. And someone said, take that and like the red apple cider, I think, and mix it together. I'm like, oh man, no. I'd get so drunk on that if I did drink it.
Oh man. I guess you better start wrapping this up.
One thing I saw in the store, I saw Bartles and James was back.
Is it?
In a can.
Oh boy, I had to class it up.
Right? And it's weird. It's like cucumber and white wine, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, there it is, you're right. I'm trying to think of whether I saw these and just never paid attention. It was Bartles and James.
I saw it in the store. I said, oh, it's Bartles and James. They used to drink that shit all the time when I first started drinking.
I don't know. The website won't let me in.
Because you're not of age?
Cucumber and lime, grapefruit and green tea, watermelon and mint.
Don't those just sound disgusting?
Yeah. I can't read this last. Ginger and lemon. Okay. Well, yeah.
It's like that chalada crap. You ever have that shit?
Is that the...
It's like clam juice with like fucking Budweiser.
Yeah, the Clamato. And
they market it towards like the Mexicans. It's disgusting.
See, that doesn't even sound good.
It's
you know,
fucking
also,
nasty.
Do you like the hard sodas?
No, I don't. I
don't like those either.
No. I'd rather have a good beer or even just some scotch or bourbon. Or even wine,
Pat
you know.
That's sophisticated.
Or wine. I like wine.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that.
Or a good beer or something that's not Budweiser.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old Bud Light, right? Right,
Joe? Coors Light.
It's like if you haven't listened to it yet, you should listen to it. It came out last year right after Southeast Linux Fest. Ask Noah had Jeremy on, and they were doing like the history. A lot of what that talk he did last year, Dan. Okay. But he was talking about the year after the wedding party raid at Southeast Linux Fest when they were moving to the Blake. And they said, we're ordering plenty of Coors Light and all this. And he's like, our guests don't drink that stuff. Nobody does. that just makes me laugh. And that's the clear sign that the wedding party raided the Southeast Linux Fest party at that time.
All right, bro. Start wrapping this up here.
Yep, you guys have a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, have a happy one, Pat.
You too.
Have a safe one, everybody.
Don't lose any fingers or toes.
Don't be like that redneck guy. Look on YouTube and look for firework blow-up face, and there's a old guy there lighting a firework at the table. It's not real. He didn't really do that, but it's still funny.
Well, the worst internet story of the day was the guy who got attacked by a bear in Siberia, and the bear had snapped his spinal cord so he was paralyzed and dragged him back to its cave, and it was feeding on him. And the guy survived by drinking his own urine, and eventually they found him after like a month, and he was barely alive.
I wow. like the one with the black bear that hid in the closet.
Or better yet, it's fucking snowing in Colorado still.
Didn't they get, what, 2 feet?
Nah, I don't know. I don't think they got that much. I know somebody who has a summer house in this town called Ouray, which is fucking way up in the mountains, like 10,000 feet elevation. And they get snow in the summertime sometimes. And they were having snow on and off like a couple weeks back. They had a couple inches. But like I said, it's way up in the mountains. Anywho,
all right.
You guys have a good one.
You too. All right, Joel, here you too, are Pat. Your promos.
Oh my God.
Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
The Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You by fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. My car. Somebody backed into it Sunday.
Damn! So, was it, how badly damaged?
$900.
Oh my goodness, what happened?
Neighbor had his dad visiting him and he backed into it and was parked on the street.
Like, what did he hit? Like, what
did he front hit? Bumper.
Front bumper. Front bumper?
Yep. Yeah, he backed his car into it. He's backing up and he backed
right into it. What, did he just like tear off the bumper or something? Or just...
Actually, it wasn't tore off or anything. It was just a kind of caved in a little bit and trim strips. It didn't even bend the sheet metal.
$900, huh?
Yep, $500 in parts and $290-something in labor and $100 in materials. Hopefully it'll be fixed by Friday, but...
Is insurance covering it?
100%, baby. Not my fault. Nice. I wasn't. Nobody was in the car. It wasn't even moving.
Oh.
That makes the hit on my insurance from that idiot across the street even better.
Is it the same guy?
No.
I was gonna say.
No.
Boy, about.
I never really heard how that one handled. How that one was handled for. Because the only thing I heard on that one was. Then it was a rental car, and I'm like, fuck, he probably had... I mean, if you rent... I don't know about you, but when I rent a car, even for work, I usually end up... if they ask me about the insurance, I say, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever... At least nobody at the company ever reported me for it, but... we have our own insurance. Like, when I'm driving, there's a piece of paper I'm supposed to stick in the car. And 9 times out of 10, I don't remember to print until halfway through the trip.
Well, I'm glad that nobody at least was hurt, but
yeah,
and I'm glad to hear you don't have to pay for it, but it kind of stinks.
Yeah, it's just a hassle. It's just a hassle. They gave the rental car they gave us was a Nissan Sentra, and that thing's a piece of shit. I would not buy a Nissan for anything. Not even a Leaf.
Now, when I had a Nissan back a long time ago, I liked it a lot. Why didn't you like the Nissan Sentra?
Oh, just because it's a base level Sentra. There's basically a shitty stereo. It's a fine car. It gets you everywhere, but...
All right, say goodnight, Joel. I gotta stop your
time. Goodnight.
Wow. Was that you, Joe? He silenced himself, so I think it must have been him.
I bet he had Van Halen as somebody's ringtone. So I got a question for you guys. I left a company, I was at a company for about 6 years, left them, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Now everybody I worked with, all of my peers are like CIO and all that bit, and I'm like, oh. There was a lot of evil going on in the company, a lot of jerks, you know, a lot of the owner of the company.
Okay, guys, it looks like I'm going to have company, so I'm probably going to jump off.
All right, have a good one.
I'll take over for you.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Okay, so you were saying, Rich?
So I was saying all these people I know are like CIO, director of this, you know, all these people that were like junior to me. And like, oh, if I stuck it out, I could have been, you know, fill in the blank. But it was one of those things. They were jerks, and I really need to get out of there.
What's the question? Would we have stayed?
I'm like, you know, I was talking to somebody who I hired into the company, and he's like, oh yeah, he's this now, he's this one's that now. I'm like, huh. And you know how it is, you kind of, and with no disrespect, because everybody's married here, like you kind of romanticize an old relationship with a girl. It's like, oh, it wasn't so bad. It's like, oh no, it sucked. That's why I broke up with her. You kind of like, oh, she wasn't so bad. She was real nice. I'm like, yeah, I broke up with her for a reason.
Mm-hmm. So what
but
are
you're
we
thinking
pissed-
to yourself, huh? If I would have just stuck it out, you'd have been. So is this like those people that are high up in the company making tons of money?
I have no idea. Who knows? No. Maybe not.
Good evening.
How you doing, Joe?
Trying to stay cool. And
we're betting that you're wearing sweatpants, you haven't left the house since Sunday, and you're shirtless. Is that true?
Nope. I have a shirt on. I have shorts.
So you're
too.
Bottomless?
No, I have shorts too.
Hey, I got an offer for a killer vacation to the Dominican Republic.
How many guns are you taking with you?
Can't bring any.
You bringing a food taster with you? Don't drink the liquor?
Oish.
Do you have a bleach detector?
Mm-hmm.
Any guys ever been down there?
Yeah, I've been there twice, and so it's kind of hit or miss. The first time I went had a fantastic time, and I'm like, I'm going back and I'm going to stay at the fancier resort next to the resort I was at. And the week before, a doctor went down, and on the flight down, I'm flying with his parents. He's like, oh, my son went, he had a great time last week, so he's sending me and my wife this week. Well, apparently they had like the, you know, mini UN of the Caribbean there. There was not enough power, there was not enough food, there was not enough fill-in-the-blank going around. So the air conditioning, they would, like, turn it
That's
warmer.
What I heard about that place. I've never been down there, but I know a bunch of people who have. And they all talked about, like, rolling blackouts and shit.
Yeah, because each resort has its own power plant.
You see, last summer, I went to Texas, and it was 103, and fuck people who say it's a dry heat. Fuck them. I cannot stand that kind of heat.
Well,
I'd rather go to Alaska.
Dominican Republic is really nice. I mean, I would go to a top name resort there. Because I had a great trip at a, you know, moderate resort or, you know, budget resort. And then I tried to go to the more expensive one because I knew it was nicer. And I had a worse time. You know, it's very hit or miss. And if you get 1 week a year, look at me. I'd hate to tell you what my wife and my gross earning is. Cause if you ever told me this in high school that my wife and I'd be pulling down this much money each year, I'd be like dancing. We're broke. We're like crazy broke. We haven't been on a trip since I don't know when. You know, last trip we went was like 2011, 2012. We went skiing in Colorado. And 4 years ago for my daughter's bat mitzvah, I took her and some friends to New York. So like 4 years ago was the last trip.
I have friends who like go on multiple cruises in 1 year, and I'm like, I don't even have the desire to go on one cruise at all.
Well, now that's another thing. I'd love to go on a cruise, but I'm terrified of
cruise at all, ever.
I'm terrified of, you know, the ship breaking down and getting towed into harbor or everybody getting the plane.
I'm not scared of the ship or nothing. I mean, it's like going to Disney World too. It's like, no, thank you.
I know somebody was on that boat that left New York last February, I think it was, and they hit a storm and they were like riding a roller coaster for like three and a half days straight. And he said that the vomit was dripping down the hallways.
Oh.
But what do you expect when you're leaving February out of New York?
You know, I've never heard anybody in between on a cruise. It's always either they loved it or they hated it. I never hear anybody say, "Hey, you know, it was good, but it had some bad points, but you know, it was all right."
Well, I knew a couple that cruised all the time. And they were like cruising fanatics. They cruised everywhere all the time.
Yeah, I get it and I kind of don't. You know, I'm just like, you know, I'd be fine just going down to the brand new visitor center at a Hocking, State Park down below, down south of here, Hocking Hills, that's it. Why can't I remember that? Anyway, but they just opened the state just sunk a whole bunch of money into really beautiful visitor center. I'd rather do that. I honestly rather would do that than go on a boat to go to a freaking amusement park, be it Disney, Kings Island, Dorney Park, wherever. I mean, no.
We go to Dorney Park, you get the wonderful Lehigh Valley.
Wonderful? Okay. Yeah.
And if you
I'd much rather go to Busch Gardens right by you there, Dan.
A local cops will shoot you when you fail to respond to their commands. Some guy was high as a kite and he was like out of his fucking mind. And he jumped the fence. He was in the park. He jumped the fence and there were cars driving by, like right outside, and the cars were at a red light and the guy was fucking jumping on the hood of the car and like banging on the windows and stuff, acting crazy. So the cops showed up and they tried to like get him to like, you know, sit down and calm him down and shit, and the guy wouldn't go for it. In fact, he got like more furious, and when he didn't respond to them, they shot him and killed him.
Look, if you don't have a non-lethal option, I'm okay with that.
I think they shot him with a taser first, and piss him off.
Yeah. Then
don't tase me, bro.
But it's unfortunate. You don't know what he's going to do next. So here's something I've said to people. You know what? I'd gladly walk away from an encounter with somebody with a black eye or a bloody nose. And then this guy says to me, he's like, "How do you know they're going to stop there?" Well, yeah, good point. But you know, I'm happy to get hit once in the face and walk away. I don't want to have to, you know, escalate something. That's kind of like David Letterman before he went nut job said this about the Branch Davidians. He's like, put a fence around it, call it a jail, you know. Instead of going in and burning them out, you know where they are. Put a fence around the place, call it a jail.
Yep. Well, I'm ready to actually start the show anytime you guys are.
There's a show.
Oh, sorry.
No, we gotta start at 8:35. It's only
8:33. Aw, come on.
Nah, by the time Dan has his shit together, it will be 8:35.
No. I got the audio update on Firefox, and every time I'm like, just comes as a surprise every time. So I open up a new tab, and it's like, well, you're not gonna go restart Firefox now, because it just got updated.
Well, at least I got Steam rocking my Steam account back up and going again. For some reason, I just couldn't for a while, but I got back up and going just in time for their summer sale. And yeah, they got me for 99 cents. Portal 2, 99 cents. No idea if it runs on Linux yet, but I'm installing Steam on my Ubuntu to see if it will.
Yeah, it does. It's part of the Orange Box, and the Orange Box runs on. I think, isn't Portal 2 part of the Orange Box?
I do not know.
I know Portal 1 did. And...
Oh, hey, I got a nice note from a listener. I'll have to find it.
Yeah.
And me and Claudio have been going to town on Mastodon, too.
Good. Sounds kinky.
That would be called the Fediverse.
I was going to look up Claudio because we're talking about going to Orlando. Miami.
Well, and I think Rich knows what I want to talk about tonight.
Pizza?
Close.
Blueberry?
Pi 4.
Raspberry Pi?
Yes, sir. I didn't get one ordered yet. I might order one Friday if I can find somebody who will let me do a pre-order.
And James Middendorf's wife is going to go pick one up for me Friday at Micro Center and ship it to me.
This Friday?
As in this Friday. Walk-ins only on the Pi 4 4 gig at Micro Center.
Damn, I might have to make a trip at lunchtime.
All right. Ready for episode 815?
As soon as you get your act together, sure.
Oh, you know what? One thing before we start the show. I'm not going to be here next week, so if you guys want to do a show and somebody record, please do so.
Isn't it July 3rd?
Yeah. But I'm heading down to my mother-in-law, so I don't think I'm going to get there.
It's fireworks night in Columbus, so I'll probably be watching that on TV and maybe flying the drone to take fireworks shots from the house.
All right, so like I said, if you want to call it off or whatever, either way works for me.
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy to call it off.
All right, so we'll just skip next week.
Sounds a little bit chaotic.
Yeah, take a break.
All right. All right, so here we go. Joel, give me a count around.